So what I want to do this time was I wanted to kind of try and do the cold open, you know, the way that we're just kind of...
Like James Bond?
It's just like, you know, we were already having a conversation that the audience wasn't necessarily in on. They kind of, you know, oh, hello there.
And that's when the cow walked through.
I didn't see you over there. Why don't you come on in and sit a spell? We're here on Late to the Party with Travis Tate. I'm Jake, and
I am Travis Tate. Welcome. And, thanks for coming.
Did that feel successful?
Yes,
did
I think we nailed it. That seemed so natural.
I really...
Oh, my gosh. That was so natural that they're probably going to sell it at Whole Foods.
Gross. So, it's nice to see you again, Travis.
It's good to be back. Good to be seen. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great. We've had a nice week, I hope.
That's good.
We've passed Father's Day. How was your Father's Day, Travis?
My Father's Day was all right. I didn't spend a lot of with my kids, to be honest with you.
What did you do with your Father's Day?
Well, one kid went with my sister to Lagoon, so she was there all day long. And another kid had to work, so it was just kind of... It was another day. It was another Sunday.
You do have kids of the more older persuasion. So
yeah, they're older.
You actually found out about my Father's Day before I did.
That's right. I was talking to your son.
So I found out in the other, because I got a real nice t-shirt from you, is to complete the gift. Can you give me just a little bit of background? Because that was while I was running out and getting some food last week. And I guess in the while that was going on, my dear boy Gabe, he loves stand-up. So when he heard a stand-up comedian was coming over, he was really excited. I remember him asking you if you had a Netflix special, which was adorable.
I wish. I have a YouTube video.
What? So while I was gone, how did that come up?
I had brought the shirt, actually. I was just going to give it to you.
Oh,
and then I was talking to your son, and I just mentioned that I had the shirt. I was like, do you want to give it to your dad for Father's Day? He's like, heck yeah. So that's how it happened.
So in true fashion of being a 14-year-old who gets super... He's super hyperactive. He was too excited about it to let it go till actual Father's Day. I came home from work on Friday, and there were a number of wrapped gifts sitting on the living room table. And I'm like, "What's up, Gabe?" He goes, "Oh, come here. You gotta hit the button on the laptop." And it was a he had
were you
this
nervous?
Whole
huh? Were you nervous?
No, because I check my son's. Secrets. I check my son's browser history a lot. And
good idea.
he does. I don't find out that he's looking at anything too skeevy just yet. Thank God. But he had made this whole slideshow presentation about He-Man, who was absent from Eternia.
Oh no,
and
that's sad.
In his absence, we were going to take a magical journey where I was going to take over for He-Man as Dude Man.
Dude Man.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like it.
My first gift was a... they said that to be He-Man, or Dude Man, you would need magical hair. Much like we talked last week about a Disney princess or Thor needs magical hair.
Like a Dutch boy haircut like He-Man.
Very much so.
There you go.
And he did find one of my son's favorite things is making fun of me because I'm bald. He loves it.
Does he know it's hereditary?
That's the thing. My dad, my dad went bald young, and I would crack on him a bit when I was younger, and he would smile and he would just say like, it's coming for you, bud. I don't know why you think this is so funny. And of course it came for me, and it'll probably come for him. I don't know, but he still, but also let him have his fun.
Right.
He has the rest of his life to be miserable about hereditary hair loss. Let him enjoy having the hair he has now.
Right.
So he did, the first gift was a like Dutch boy He-Man wig, but rainbow colored.
Nice.
So I got that going for me.
Like Sia, the singer. Doesn't she wear one like that?
Is she the one that's got like the split, the black and white one?
Yeah.
Is that who that is?
Maybe it's not rainbow.
I'm on the very edge of knowing.
It should
about
be rainbow. Can
like
I suggest that to Sia?
Hey, yeah, sure.
She's the chandelier girl, right? Chandelier.
Pass me on this. I'm waiting for the new Nine Inch Nails album, buddy. I don't catch that stuff. But but it is resplendent. It is rainbow. It is
nice,
very nice.
And it's Dutch boy, huh?
And it is Dutch boy.
That's perfect.
Also, little secret, he may end up hearing this, so I shouldn't tell, but I will. My wife told me about it ahead of time, so that I could be I would be prepared to be excited just in case it went off the rails. And it was great. Dutch boy rainbow wig. I was expecting the traditional clown guy at a sporting event one.
Right.
No.
Straight.
No, Dutch boy. Very nice.
Wow.
That's classy. The next gift was...
The clown ones just get matted. You can wear them once.
Yeah.
Oh, Dutch, no, boy, Dutch boy's forever.
Perennial wig.
Exactly.
Can wear it anytime. Dude, any man situation.
Returns next year.
Yeah. Oh, boy. you saw my hot dog costume. I think that one might end up being a combo. The next one was a weapon for He-Man. It was a little hammer for a keychain. I don't have my keys with me, but just a little hammer keychain. It said every dude man needs his weapon. Now, this is a 14-year-old humor. It was in reference to my nether regions.
Oh, a little hammer. I get it.
You know, let that stuff slide again. You know, let him have his fun when he's
14. Does he know that's hereditary?
Again, let him have fun for now. He'll find out later what kind of tragedy befalls him with that. Man, that was a rough snap on me there. I'm shaking.
I had to do the callback.
I'm shaking. No.
You ever heard of the rule of threes? It might come back again.
The next one was a mighty steed, much like Battle Cat, and that ended up being a Beanie Baby's dragon.
Nice. I mean, dude man on a dragon makes sense to me. He-Man can have Battle Cat. That's cool.
Sure.
Battle Cat's awesome, but dragon
Battle Cat awesome. Lie. Cringer. I felt bad for Cringer. Cringer gets a bad rap.
Cringer's kind of sad, but...
He-Man was asking Cringer to do a lot of things. Cringer didn't want to. That's right. Okay.
Cringer just had a tender heart.
Consent is important. Cringer didn't really want it. In some weird ways, He-Man forced Battle Cat on Cringer.
A little bit,
yeah. Kind of not cool, He-Man. So my last gift was... I feel like I can't recover from that, but I'm going to carry on. My final gift was... it was not He-Man related. It was, hey... You know what? I've been cracking on you this whole time, but He-Man's got one, or you got one thing He-Man ain't got. It. A big bushy beard, which is a callback we get from the great movie Hot Fuzz. That's right. Oh, jeez. Oh. Took too long to get that. Hot Fuzz.
I don't even remember that in Hot Fuzz.
There's a great moment where the police chief is talking to the new guy and says, like, oh, there's one thing that there's one thing our constable had that you'll never have. And he goes, what? A big bushy beard. And it's just a fun thing that we shout at each other. Cause,
those are great movies, by the way.
Oh, I love Hot Fuzz.
I like, what was the newest one? The World's End.
The World's End.
I love World's End.
I haven't gone back to watch it.
And of course, Shaun of the Dead.
I need to revisit that. I have issues with horror movies. My mom broke me for horror movies. Well, my mom and dad broke me for horror movies by making me watch Poltergeist when I was way too young. And I just kind of get anxiety about them. And even though that I know that one, like when I say like, oh, I don't like horror movies, like Shaun of the Dead's not a horror movie. Like, well,
it's one of the few that I like. I don't like horror movies either. By the way, I don't know if you saw, I made a Facebook post about this. I'm 99% sure I saw The Preacher from Poltergeist 2 at Sam's Club.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was so creepy.
I didn't want to look at it.
It was, he had the same face, like his, it was like, he looked stressed.
Like more, same less pulled than back smile. Lips?
Yes, and it was so, his eyes were like sticking out. It was so scary. I like went on the other side of the store. Gruesome. And I'm a grown man. I'm a 40-year-old man, pushing 300 pounds. I'm 6'3". And I was terrified of this guy.
If there's one thing we know, the elderly are terrifying.
Yes, they are.
So, getting back, this is much more easy to recover from the
My
than
skin
the
is
thing.
Translucent. My finger looks like a spring roll. Don't
quit doing that.
Okay.
My last gift, he said, you got this big beard. I want to get you something you do. Like, I need to get me some beard oil. And that was very nice.
Oh, beard oil. What kind of beard oil?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't look at it. It's like it's beard oil. I got it from the store. I'm not beard culture. I have this goobery beard. It's mostly because, you know, being bald, you either got to have one or the other. There's a very small percentage of men who can pull
You're
it off.
You're just wearing like your hair upside down.
Like a kind of, more or less. There's a small percentage of men like Bruce Willis, like who can pull off nothing up top, nothing up bottom. I just feel like if I shave both, I'm just going to look like a thumb. And you know,
Mama June.
Maybe I am Bruce Willis. Maybe. I mean, that's to say that
you know who you kind of look like in your face? Noah Wiley. He was on ER.
I kind of know
the librarian series. Just your eyes and your nose, kind of a little Noah Wiley in there. That's a compliment. I mean, Noah Wiley.
You think about things that like Billy Corgan. Yeah. Shaved Billy Corgan never looked right.
He always looked like he was an alien or something.
Who's that guy? Who's the guy on the detective show now that was from the 80s? He was the voice of Ultron, and now I'm James Spader.
Oh, James.
James Spader always looks a little.
He's creepy bald.
So
beard oil. Was there a particular scent?
Musky. That's another one. Like I couldn't tell you what the scent of something like a cologne. Like what's that cologne smell like? Like musk. I don't know.
I bought some beard oil and I like smelled every kind they had, and then I ended up getting one that was orange cream. Everything else smelled weird, so I got one that was orange cream because it was either like a musk, like you said, or mint. And my wife hates mint, but she's a fan of orange cream.
Did it work?
Yeah, I mean,
that's all that matters.
She chews on my beard way more than she used to.
No, I have this thing. I'm not beard culture. You know, I'm not like yelling at people, fear the beard, or, you know, pretend like I go out and chop wood and stuff.
Do you ever get the dandruff? I get dandruff like on my chin once in a while.
I don't get dandruff in the beard. I'm going to get real for a minute. I get the eyebrow dandruff.
I have some too. Just on my right eye. And it's because I get more sun on my right side.
People, it's hard. It's hard for us out here.
Yep.
It's hard.
It's a dry heat.
Dry climate.
It's a dry heat. So what else did you give? Sorry,
I kept interrupting. That was the extent of Dude Man. I got a few cards.
I think that's like great. That's a great gift.
I also always feel really hinky about getting things for Father's Day because I really 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 enjoy being a dad.
Yeah.
So for people giving me gifts for something that I am really super stoked about doing anyway, I always feel a little weird about.
I agree. No, 100%. I told my kids I didn't want anything as a present. I still got a few.
See, and that's the hard thing about that is convincing people that it's not a trap, because so many right. birthdays and things like that are like, oh, you don't have to get me anything. Right. You know, you better get something. I'm not like that.
I also appreciate that you still want to do something for somebody. I'm glad that my kids want to do something. That's a good quality in a human being, to want to do something to make somebody else feel good. So I got Firefly on DVD.
Ooh.
That was taken from my father-in-law's house. My kids and given to me with permission.
Oh, okay.
But I love Firefly. And then I also got a little tiny Pac-Man machine. It's like, I don't know, 6 inches tall or something.
Oh, neat. It works well? Or?
Yeah, works good.
Cool.
I have giant hands, so we'll see if I can play it without breaking it for much longer. But that's pretty awesome.
Mice and Men moment with that.
Yeah, just smish Pac-Man waka waka.
So I mean,
just want to hold it and cuddle it, waka waka it.
So it wasn't for Father's Day, but adjacent to Father's Day, doing a fatherly thing. I was sitting down to enjoy some me stuff, games or movies, or I don't even remember what I was doing, but. I was just kind of starting to get into it, and my son came downstairs and sat down next to me and goes, "You know what time it is, Dad?" And I knew. And I said, "Is it time to Tron, Gabe?" He says, "It's time to Tron, Dad." So we...
Time to Tron.
We binge-watched the newest season of Voltron together.
Oh. Okay. I thought you were going to say Tron.
No. No. How you feel about... let's get into it. How do you feel about Tron?
Tron? It's overrated. The original movie, I have gone back and watched it. I bought it, and it's not very good. It's not terrible, but it's not very good. For what it was, it was trying really hard. It was, you know, Jeff Bridges is always good.
Tron's one of those movies that they had a great idea that it was too early to really cash in on that idea.
No, for sure. But I don't think it would have worked 5 years later when people actually understood how electronics worked and that you couldn't get sucked into a game.
You do not have to. Look, we talked about The Matrix. If you understand how electronics work, The Matrix is baloney.
That's where they should have had young Jeff Bridges in The Matrix.
If we're gonna go that way, well, young Jeff Bridges, I don't know. I wanted to love Tron Legacy.
I did too.
Design wise and music wise, Tron Legacy is a home run.
Right.
It's just kind of a zero for story, and that the young Jeff Bridges technology is just not there.
Yeah, it was a little bad. I mean, it actually made Grand Moff Tarkin look way better in Rogue One.
Still,
if you compare the two,
I mean, well, yeah, if you compare the two, the digital Peter Cushing is better, but it still just looks off. I think I might be in a camp where trying to digitally recreate the performance of someone who's passed and someone who, like Peter Cushing, who really commanded a role.
Right.
Trying to do that digitally, like it's you're not just working against, does this look like a real person? You're working against, we have to make a digital thing look like someone who really knows how to act.
The uncanny valley is tricky.
Yeah. The digital Leia, not as bad, still a little hink, but I mean, you know, for one, at the time you could still kind of bounce off Carrie Fisher how that works, and two, it was so brief that it didn't matter. Like the Peter Cushing thing was, we're doing a performance with a digital character. Like that's, you know.
Have you ever run into a person that falls into the uncanny valley category?
I've worked with several
person?
People who do.
It's weird, right?
It's just that they're just not real people.
Did you know, I can't remember where I heard this, but the reason that people don't like clowns is the same reason uncanny valley in a digital character is weird to us, because it's human-like, but not quite human. And that little part of our brain that goes, that's not right. And it just kind of makes us nervous.
That makes some sense. But I mean, I'm not scared of clowns. The whole I'm scared of clown things, I'm sure it happens, but it feels more like a trend in the lines of like bacon. Bacon's epic. Well, put bacon in my ramen.
Put bacon in my clowns.
Or the word moist being offensive. I think it's just like, yes, some people get that, but for the most part, it was a bad
moist. I think after it came out, people actually did become a little bit afraid of clowns.
That's not a clown scary. That is a scary clown.
That's true.
That's something.
Tim Curry.
Different. Oh boy. God rest that man.
He's still alive.
I know. I just wanted.
I haven't checked on that today.
I was just going to steal a joke there. I gotta slow down on that. That was something I worried about coming into this, as I've spent so much time listening to podcasts over the years. I'm just concerned that I'm going to get on here and realize that. Any measure of my sense of humor is just going to be podcast references.
I'm trying really hard not to do bits, like my own bits, my stand-up. That's what the t-shirt that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It says, world's greatest dad, there can be only one. It's a reference to The Highlander, of course. I have a joke about it, if you're wondering what the t-shirt was. It's about how there can only be one world's greatest dad. And he's standing on a pile of severed heads. But they're cartoony and they're fun, so it's not scary.
Yeah. Sweet. So what I wanted to say more about the clowns is I'm not scared of clowns. I'm nervous. I am definitely nervous around anyone who is trying to make a goof on me. Like honestly, it's not as bad. But if I go to Disneyland and Baloo comes up on me and starts dancing around me, like I can handle that. But it's still at some point I'm like, look, you're sweet, but just go perform for the kids. I'm not the person where
magic.
I don't let that magic go.
I know what you're talking about. Tigger is infamous for that.
I think it's great. I think that's a wonderful thing, but it just makes me anxious to be around someone who I think it's because I feel inclined, like I need to perform back at them and make it real for them too.
That's the weird thing about doing stand-up, Jake, is when you see people in the front row and you realize, oh, they're pretending. Not that they don't like it, but they want to put on a performance.
They want to be a part of the audience. They want to be.
You
more
don't really laugh
than,
like that.
Oh
right?
No, I was at work today. Kelly and Ryan Seacrest, that's on that show now.
Yeah, I think so.
Watching that is an exercise in terror of these two people trying to be way more excited about just really banal things, of trying to tell these stories. I was sitting there watching Ryan Seacrest look at her, and the gentleman that I was with, our friend Craig, was like, "Yeah, he looks like he can't believe how this woman is." I'm like, he looks like, I think what he really looks like to me is, I completely know this story. We've gone over this story a million times. Right now, I'm trying to remember the reaction I'm supposed to have to this story that we're supposed to pretend is natural, but I am supposed to come off like, oh, casual observance. And,
he's a professional phony. That's what he does for, that's how he got
professional
famous,
phonies,
being phony.
Professional phonies make me uncomfortable.
Yes. As does Baloo. Anybody that might pull a prank on you.
I like Baloo.
How do you feel about Ashton Kutcher?
I nothing Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
I guess I don't hate
you him. And most of America at this point.
I guess I don't hate him. I don't like him. I would rather him not play pranks on me. I think that's a thing he likes to do. Please, Ashton, if you're out there, don't do a goof on me. We're not close like that. Please, just.
I can't believe he doesn't have a YouTube channel doing pranks.
He know.
Unless he used up all of his ideas.
That is kind of a weird thing. Like, Ashton Kutcher does not have a prank channel. Jackass does not have a YouTube fails channel.
That's because they're all crippled now. Most of them can barely walk anymore.
I did see a YouTube video that was Johnny Knoxville sort of promoting that that new movie that they have, the Action Park.
Action Park, yeah.
He was promoting that, but it was just like him talking about various injuries that he's had. And I think it was sponsored by the Fail Army channel, but that was more promotion than just making a channel of his own, really.
Have you ever actually heard about Action Park, the real version?
A little bit. Have you ever listened
to The Dollop? That's a podcast out there.
I'm sort of getting.
They did a dollop on it, and it's
I've been
amazing.
Listening to Reply All and starting to get into the idea of, like, I don't necessarily just have to exclusively listen to comedy podcasts. I can listen to stuff about that's informational to some degree. They did one about it.
Yes, and it's insane.
I can't remember what the name is. The name of the park, Action Park.
I can't remember.
The movie and the park have different. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been paying a ton of attention to either of those things.
It was very dangerous. People died there on the regular.
Yeah. Anything that has an alpine slide is honestly kind of just asking for it.
That's right. Ski resorts, we're coming after you. Yeah. Snowbird.
Coming at
Alta.
5 episodes in, we're coming after a lot of people.
That's
like,
right.
We shouldn't be taking these swings. I don't know that we can back this up just yet.
Speaking of 5 episodes in,
yeah.
Do you want to tell them the news?
Dark days have fallen upon us. As far as I'm concerned, people.
It's a matter of economy. I mean, there's companies. Disney's trying to buy Fox. Comcast is trying to buy Time Warner, I think, right?
Big companies are buying up little companies, and we're a burgeoning company.
And we have tentatively, it's not 100% through yet, we have been purchased by the Country Classic Confederation, everybody. Think you're George Jones, Tammy Wynette, Jake and Travis Tate. We're all in the same family now. The CCC.
Travis Tate, once mistaken for Travis Tritt.
Once mistaken, that's right.
I guess in a way this was inevitable.
Which led to beef with Toby Keith, but I'll talk about that another day.
Yeah, well.
The things I said about Travis Tritt and country music in general, it caused a bit of a rift.
I've been contacted, I've been asked to have a powwow of sorts with Toby Keith. I'm not wild about it. I've heard stories specifically from you about this Keith beef.
It's deep.
I'm not excited about it, but considering we're fledgling, I guess we should take handouts where we can. I'm not comfortable being in the pocket of big country, not big country of big country fame. But just plain big country.
I think it's safe to call it big country. They probably won't know what we're talking about. They might think we're talking about the band or the song.
I feel like Big Country by Big Country is a worldwide hit.
I think for sure. Yeah.
So
who hasn't loved that song at one time or another?
I'm loving it right now.
You can't say that Big Country is not bigger than the Country Classic Confederation.
It's promoting a good idea. It's promoting an idea of that in a big country dreams stay with you.
Like a lover's voice across the mountainside.
Something that Toby Keith seems to be wanting to promote that I am not really comfortable with, but we've taken their money, and so this will be something going forward.
I mean, management is really starting to come down on me. We only have so many things that we can say no to.
And you tell those big wigs to take their big wigs and shove them.
I'll try, but there's that Toby Keith beef, man. If him and I are in the same room together, it's going to get ugly. We're both a couple big boys.
I'm going to go into this thing with the best attitude possible, but I'm really assuming it's going to go ugly either way.
Of course it's going to go ugly. Toby Keith's involved.
Look, the less said about the Keith beef. I said
that is a tongue twister.
The less said about the Keith beef, the better.
More or less, yeah.
I don't even want to think about it anymore.
How about more positive things?
Season 2 of Voltron.
Yes.
Season 2 of Voltron.
How was it?
I really...
What I've seen of that series, I have really enjoyed.
How much of it have you seen?
About 2 episodes.
But I liked it.
It is
an animated show primarily for like young teens and kids.
Right.
I still have a real good time watching it.
I thought there was a lot of jokes in there. It was well written stuff.
It has well crafted jokes. It has good callbacks. It's a as opposed to when we were kids, we were not often treated to a serialized program. You just had episodes that weren't really connected.
Yeah, it's just random.
Occasionally, you have a two-parter.
Right.
But this is telling a very large arc of a story. And I think this one is the closest to we're finishing a story. I'm pretty sure it's going to go on. It's been, I think, really successful for Netflix. I'm pretty sure they're making more. It ended in a way where, like, we still have some threads that aren't tied up. But it ended in a way of, like, the thing that started this all came to something of a close. I mean, as an adult, I feel like I shouldn't be saying it, but I'm really impressed with how this stuff gets handled. It is, like I said, it's well written, good comedy. The animation is spectacular. You know, I feel real good for my son that he gets to grow up with something like that. I think it
right.
something like that really spurs him creatively.
I'm glad that they did it that way, unlike the new Thundercats coming out.
We're not going to prejudge. Look, I'm trying not to prejudge Toby Keith. I would ask you to try not to, though. It hard as it may be, please try not to.
I will try.
Prejudge Thundercats Roar.
I will try. I mean, it's probably going to be funny.
Speaking of that,
back to Voltron.
Oh, we're going to keep going Voltron.
I loved Voltron when I was a kid.
We're
going to
put in prejudgment.
I for Christmas one year was going to get the entire Voltron set.
How'd that go for
you? All the toys. Well,
the toys, not the series.
No, this is as a child. I manipulated my brother into sneaking into my parents' room and peeking around and reporting back to me. Because I was like big country back then. And, well, he got caught. And Voltron went back to Lino Playworld, and I never got it.
That's a phenomenon I don't understand. The idea of parents, we bought this thing. Perhaps in your case, I don't know. If they bought it in a timely manner, we probably had to work hard to get a hold of this thing.
Right.
Like...
My parents both had two jobs, you never got
the full Voltron, right?
Didn't get any of them.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Get the idea of maybe they skip Christmas, they like go a week and make you feel bad, but just completely getting rid of it? That's
I don't know. It's not like I sold one of my siblings to
over a peak.
Yep.
Oh. That's up there with like I see videos of parents like taking their kids' Xbox out. Number one, if you're taking a video of you disciplining your child, you're not doing it to discipline them. You're doing it for you.
Right. You want it to go viral.
Hey, coming for you, disciplinary parents. But I always hate seeing those where they smash an Xbox. I'm like, you're smashing an expensive thing that you could just take and put in a closet. Or if you're that worried, give it to someone who doesn't live in your house. Take it away. Make your kids earn it back. Like, what are you... You're traumatizing your kids, and then you're putting it on the internet so they have 10,000 subscribers to remind them of what they're doing. Or maybe you're just doing it as a goof. Maybe you're doing it as a fake so you can get hits on YouTube, which, by the way, you're being a jerk doing that too, so...
100%.
Anyway, I'm sorry for that sidebar. I mean, I feel bad for you. When I was a kid, I never got any of those completionist things. I never... I don't think I ever had a full Voltron. I didn't have, like, a Destructor? Was Destructor the...
Destructor. I don't even remember that.
The Constructicons, was it? I
know what you're talking about.
But I think it was Destructor. But I never had any of
those. Was it Unicron?
Unicron was the planet.
Okay.
Ultramagnus was the city. No, Ultramagnus was the sort of prime. Metroplex was the city.
Autobots, rule out.
That is what they were compelled to do by Optimus Prime, and they did it very well. But, when you were a kid... Those dream things, like those achievements of having,
right.
like, you know, you got a Nintendo. That was an achievement. But if you're one of the rich kids, get one of the other ones. Or if you're one of the weird kids, you had the Sega Genesis. Coming for you, Genesis owners. Those were like tiered achievements. And one of those was having that full set of like, I had lots of Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have those full sets of ones that made a bigger one. I don't think I ever, I really like Voltron. So maybe I did have that. Maybe I'm throwing my parents under the bus.
I wish I had it.
But. Hey,
no big deal.
Travis Tate's parents, if you're listening, you guys messed up, man.
If you're listening, this isn't for you.
His comedy career is your fault.
That's, yeah, 100%. Also my own.
If you're a fan of animation, if you're nostalgic for Voltron, Netflix did a really good job of it. Don't be ashamed of yourself. Just watch it. It's good stuff. What else are you going to watch on that? You can watch Longmire?
Watch Stranger Things again.
Hey, look, if you're out there and you're watching Stranger Things, what, you'll watch Stranger Things, but you're too good for Voltron? Come on, man, you're just kidding yourself.
All I know, the only reason I started watching Stranger Things before it got popular, I first saw it on there, and I was like, Winona Ryder?
Before it got
popular. So I watched it for Winona Ryder.
I thought that thing hit the street popular. Yeah. But hey, you know,
for sure. What happened? But it is really good. But that little girl that plays 11, man, if she doesn't touch your heart, you're cold hearted.
Oh, hey.
She doesn't make you feel something.
He is going to hate me for doing this. But when favorite memories was watching that with my boy. And in the first season where it ends, and I guess, whatever, spoiler peeper. If you haven't watched season one of Stranger Things, you missed out. 11 kind of dies at the end of the first season. And as that's happening, my son leapt out of his seat and goes, no! I was just like, man, oh, God, what a great childhood.
I did the same thing. What an awesome kid.
So, Voltron, don't sleep on it. Just be yourself. I'm going to reach up. I'm taking the pin out of Prejudgment. Last week, I prejudged The Dark Tower.
Yes.
Hey, guess what, though? I was right.
You were right.
It is not. You know, it's going to be. I don't think I can really divorce myself from the source material, but the closest to divorcing myself from it I can go is it's really just a mayonnaise of a movie.
It was very bland.
It's just bland. It's nothing.
And that's me saying that, and I love most things. So,
I still think Idris Elba was a great choice for a role.
He was awesome. I loved the gunslinger stuff.
Letting McConaughey constantly, everyone in the movie calling him Roland, but McConaughey call him Roland.
All right.
It was very Roland. Much an R-O-W-L-U-N-D.
Roland. Hey, Roland.
Roland.
Roland, 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 Roland.
You know, I don't... It was odd in that elements from a few of the books, roughly the first four books, which are kind of the ones that are well regarded, would creep in there. The weird house that beat Jake up was a part of, I think...
That was actually pretty cool. I forgot about that.
Well, it was cool, except for...
It was kind of scary. I remember being a little...
It didn't really mean anything other than like later on they're like, oh... Because I had a note here that just said like, what was the deal with the house? It like... jumped him and then just went away. And I guess they find out like, oh, he's, you know,
he went through a portal, right?
He's Professor X level 30, and that's why it just went limp. Hey, we're here to get deep. Why am I reticent to get deep? From a perspective of trying to piece out this story, is if he was that strong, it shouldn't have been able to get him in the first place. It just should have been dead.
Yeah, but he didn't know about his powers at that point, really. He was new to it. Here's the thing that gets me. You're saying that it was meant to be a big series of movies and also a TV series, then why take bits from each book?
Again, that's...
Why not just do one book as the first movie?
I looked up a little bit of stuff trying to figure out, why was it changed? So when you already had this series of books that had some really, really great beats to it, presumably you buy a property so that you can... You know, so you can tell that story. I don't get usually too up in arms about changes and stuff, because as long as they're telling the story. But in this case, they told a really weird, really different story. And one of those things was in Jake being the focus of it rather than Roland.
Roland, 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 Roland.
What? You know, the idea of Roland being this like fallen sort of like over it all, like you're not a gunslinger. Again, weird choice, because the book one was a very disciplined man who the world, you know, like they say in it, the world had moved on, but he was still this thing. He was
right.
The character in it is very obsessed with, he's not obsessed with getting revenge on Walter, who I can't remember.
Where did he come up with these names? Were these like people that lived in his town,
the
Walter and Roland?
The character of Walter, and I get a little tied up. There were two characters.
His uncles.
There's a Walter and a Martin. In the books, you got this whole kind of medieval-y thing going on where they have like a little sort of kingdom, and either Walter or Martin. I'm sorry, I get them mixed up. One of them is kind of a higher up in the monarchy there, and the other one is like the court wizard, which is the Walter character in the movie.
So is Walter supposed to be like the devil? Or is he a dark wizard?
Walter is actually a character in a few of Stephen King's books. He shows up first in Eyes of the Dragon, a medieval one. And I don't know if it's quite the same character.
So he's ancient?
A version of him is in The Stand.
Oh.
The main guy in The Stand.
Okay.
That's, again, like these Dark Tower books in a lot of ways are supposed to tie all of Stephen King's books together. Like,
want to know what I remember about The Stand?
What's that?
That they use the Crowded House song. is the theme song on the commercials. Hey now.
I never watched the TV show because I'd read it at that point.
Part of that was filmed in Utah. Part of it was filmed at a hospital in Tooele where my mom was working there. So she saw Dauber going back to Patrick Starr. Dauber was the Bill Fagerback. I don't know. I gotta be careful saying that name.
I was in the stand. SpongeBob.
So the thing about Martin is Walter, they don't go into it very much. They have a very brief interaction in the past between Roland and his dad, and then don't really talk much about. Again, the first book has it's very glossed over. A lot of stuff about how Roland became a gunslinger way earlier than he should have in life, because that Walter character had sort of got with Roland's mom while his dad was away.
Whoa.
And had let Roland know about it in hopes that he would goad him into doing his gunslinger test too early and fail at it, but he succeeded. Again, stuff that they didn't do in the movie.
Right. They should have just done that whole story first.
Supposedly that is what the eventual TV show will be about, but you know, when you catch up to it, Roland is trying to catch up to Walter, not in so much of a revenge plot, but because Roland is obsessed with the tower and Walter is the only person who knows how he can get there.
I always get upset with the trope of we need to pull somebody from current times or take He-Man out of Eternia and send him to 1987 America. I wanted a He-Man movie in Eternia with Orko and Battlecat. And I got Billy Barty playing some weird instrument.
Yeah.
And Dolph Lundgren doing weird things.
It was the 80s.
It was horrible.
The 80s had no idea what it was doing.
But I don't understand. Why can't there be a magical kid that's been hidden?
Ninja Turtles is the only licensed property came out unscathed.
What about Willow? Willow had a magical child in it. It was born in their land. They didn't pull it from the Bronx.
No, that's...
You know what I mean? Why do you have to pull modern time into it?
I'm going to spoil the hell out of the books. And that was one of the notes I took is like the sort of way that it was going, they kind of could have done a lot of that stuff was the way that Jake gets to the Roland's world is he dies in New York. I think it's Walter pushes him in front of a car, which... another one of those things about Stephen King. So this
spoiler,
this movie,
Stephen King getting hit by a car.
a foreshadowing, but
karma.
Something about Stephen King novels, like if you go see It, that one's a little rougher, and they gave it that R rating. So I don't know how much that's getting into the kid space.
Oh, lots of kids are seeing it.
The Dark Tower is very much, the movie is set up as like a YA novel type story. Several of my notes here is just says YA bullshit. You know, just things like the weird camp of kids.
Right. You can't have camps of kids in 2018, you guys.
Walter's troops of evil guys. It all smacks of like, look, guys, we can make this into the Maze Runner if you want.
That's very much what it felt like.
And
watching it with no knowledge of the books.
One of my Keith beefs with that is the books are graphic.
Mm.
Specifically, Stephen King goes into some very, very, very dark details about what it feels like to be run over by a car.
Is this post?
This is pre. This is very pre.
Ah.
There's also some very graphic.
That is very creepy.
Some very graphic sexual stuff in there that rivals our buddy Ger Martin and his Game of Thrones books.
Come on, Stephen King.
Yeah, Stephen King. Come on, Stephen King. But no, he's supposed to get pushed into traffic by Walter, run over by a car, and that's how he shows up in Roland's world.
That makes more sense than going
and
through a house.
The culmination of that book, a chief beef I have with the Dark Tower movie is none of these characters, it's like it's a short movie, but it's still like, it's a mile wide and just an inch deep. They try and cram so much stuff into this movie that really doesn't give any of the characters much of a thing to stand on.
Like, I remember so little of it. It's alarming.
Most of it I remember in relation, because at the end of the book, Roland does catch up with Walter in that he and Jake are, you know, they do it a little bit in the movie of Walter kind of taunting Roland. They're like, Roland,
Roland,
everyone you love, I take from you. I don't think that was very McConaughey, but we're going to let it pass. There's some of that where he will kind of foreshadow it and like Jake starts getting really nervous about, like, oh, this guy's obsessed. Like, he will definitely throw me under the bus. And you start getting to the point where you think that Roland does love him enough that Jake's more important to him than the tower. And there's just a culminating moment where Jake slips and he's holding him over a cliff face, and Walter kind of appears and says, hey, look, if you want to catch me, you're going to have to make a choice. But I promise, if you make the right choice, you're never going to see me again. And Roland lets Jake go. And he catches up to Walter, and they have this crazy tripped out, Roland doesn't even kill Walter. They have this crazy tripped out night of what's drugs and stuff and the nature of the universe. And he goes through all this crazy stuff about the tower and roses and stuff, and then wakes up in the morning, and it's like years and years later, and there's just a skeleton where Walter was.
Nice.
Weird for a movie, but also it's something that really establishes that character going forward in the series of this is, and this one is just this kick down, like, oh, we lost the war. I'm just walking around. I'm not really doing, maybe I want to kill Walter, but I feel sorry for myself. And I get that's in service of Jake being able to bring him back out of the muck, but it just doesn't really do much for me. And it's a bummer of, as far as I can tell, there are four writers on it. There are two teams of two writers. And
on the series?
On that movie.
Oh, on that movie?
And that's what, okay. I feel like maybe that was the problem. Too many cooks.
Too many young adult writers.
Too many young adult writers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
No, but I looked up stuff on, so how did these changes come about? Why is this? And all I run into is a lot of kind of corporate-y speak of, like, Stephen King thinks they did a great job, but that's just kind of what he does. At this point, I don't think he cares a ton about how the movies that get made out of his source.
He just wants to watch the Red Sox.
And then you talk to the writers, and they play into this idea of the end of the series is a reset. And they go, like, well, to get things right, Roland has to make all the right choices. And one of those right choices had to be he never let Jake die, but he was never really presented with that choice. They never played it up so he had that choice. So it doesn't feel like they're really telling that story. But, you know, that now they're hinting at that the TV series is going to be another reset, and I guess that's fine. And
they're doing a lot of really good stuff with TV nowadays.
Yeah, it's an Amazon one, and I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head what kind of Amazon stuff they have. I want to say, like, Man in the High Tower might be?
Man in the High Castle. What other Amazon things are out there? The Amazing Miss Mabley, I think that's what it's called.
Or
Marbley? I don't know.
I don't truck with Amazon on the TV.
Bosch?
Channel, so.
Bosch is Amazon.
I hate the idea of all the splintering off stuff. Like, I hear lots of good things about Cobra Kai.
Right.
And
I don't have YouTube Red.
I cannot bring myself to do a subscription to YouTube.
Yeah, me neither. It'll end up on something else someday, and that's when I'll see
it. I remember a lot of stuff about the pre-Dark Tower stuff in that fourth book, and, you know, they could have a really great TV show on their hands, and I hope
that's what they should do.
And I don't want to be the guy that says they need to do everything in the story right. It's just, you know, there's the bones of a good story there. Try and follow it. Try not to get too tripped up in making it okay for palatable for people. I think one thing that's been proven over the last several years is you don't have to please everyone. You can make something that's,
and you won't.
You can make something that's harsh, and I think a singular vision usually works out better than trying to please everyone.
You can't please everybody. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you want to. If I try to write a joke and I'm like, I want to write the perfect joke that everybody's going to like, it's never going to happen. Somebody's not going to like it for whatever reason. It's not going to be their cup of tea. It's going to be too edgy or not edgy enough or not enough punchlines or too many punchlines. It's just going to, you can't please everybody. So just do what you think is good art. That's why everything is so generic with young adult stories, is because they're trying to
please really does.
So
they try
many
to do
people.
Too much. Some of the problems I, well, problems. Some of the stuff I just wrote down is, you know, just like Jake's adoptive father is something, I don't know if they do this in YA, but a very trying to please everyone story is the adoptive dad has no redemptive qualities. Zero redemptive qualities. He doesn't like Jake. One of the notes I wrote down is that even ESPN's doing quakes now. Apparently large earthquakes are happening. Large scientifically unexplainable earthquakes are happening across the earth.
It's global warming.
And he's mad that every news, like, a quake happened in New York. If you turned it to ESPN and they're like, oh, they're doing quakes now, it might be just like the Knicks were in an earthquake. It's probably part of a story, but it's,
yeah, I mean, it's cutting into the domestic abuse stories on ESPN.
He doesn't believe in his problems. He thinks his problems are a hassle. He wants to send him to the worst places possible.
Well, I mean, they need some bad stepdads in movies.
His real dad wasn't just a good dad. He's a firefighter. He wasn't just a firefighter. He's a firefighter that died trying to save people in a fire.
There's so many bad stepmothers.
Settle down,
though.
Man. Come on.
So you didn't like it?
I really didn't like it.
Well, maybe the TV series will be better.
It really bums me out. I don't want to be the toxic nerd who feels like you need to make this for me. But they just made a bad movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like they made a
bad movie
out there with the name on it.
They stocked chock full in a story that has lots of rich characters. They stocked it full of really empty characters.
Should have just called it Shady Tower instead of Dark Tower.
Yeah, they stocked it full of weird people who wear skin that has an obvious seam on it, which always need to get tailored. Like, look, guys.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Look, guys. If you're gonna go so far as to make this unbelievably like way past Peter Cushing, realistic skin, get it so it fits.
Right.
Every single one of them at some point, their eye was drooping or something. Like, you know, don't go for.
I mean, it was hot on set.
Don't go for the Burlington Coat Factory version. Pay for the... But, you know, they just had those.
ILN.
These weird gothy people from the club from the beginning of Blade. Like, none of these people had personalities. They had what could be used that way, and they just...
Fix it, Hollywood.
Dark Tower, guys.
Fix it.
Sleep on it.
You know what I watched? Battlefield Earth. Have you ever seen that? This is a late to the party review of Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth is a really bad movie that at least one watch will get you a lot of fun.
It was amazingly bad.
You will be encouraged to exterminate all man animals, and the delivery on delivery on or rat brain. The delivery on those lines is something to be. It doesn't deserve to be treasured, but it should be treasured.
The aliens look like if Klingons formed a Kiss tribute band.
It looks like Klingon Kiss tribute band and like maybe a little bit of the Predator with the hair.
Yeah, there's a little bit. They all have deep voices. Yeah. Even John Travolta's character has a deep voice when it's speaking whatever language they speak. But then it turns to English. All the other characters still have a pretty deep alien voice. But John Travolta's like, hey, Sandy. He's like the guy from Greece. Sandy. It's the worst. Rat brain? Man animals? It's stupid. The plot of the movie is they're trying to dig for gold, and they'd never heard of Fort Knox. They didn't. The guys go to Fort Knox instead of digging the gold.
It's weird.
They get gold from Fort Knox and then teach themselves.
Hubbard's story was kind of hinky.
Oh my gosh. They teach themselves how to fly planes. Not just fly planes, but hover jet fighters.
I believe that comes into one of my favorite elements of the movie of shooting words into your eyes.
Yes.
Which,
my gosh.
You know, like you thought like, oh, they're not really shooting words. They're trying to approximate whatever this thing is that's happening to him. It's not quite like that, except for then he turns away and words just kind of float out into the ether.
What if that was like very important information that he missed when they pulled him out? It's just, oh man, watch it. Please watch it. It is so bad.
It's a garbage dump of a movie, but it's super fun to watch.
It's filmed at weird angles. It's like they put it on a tripod where somebody didn't pull all of the tripods, all the little legs out, so the camera's tilted. It's got these weird sepia tone colors. It's just amazingly bad. It was fun.
So how is it... Stuff like that confuses me where the process of Hollywood where some people like in the case of, I don't think Barry Pepper ever came back from that.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, before that he was in Saving Private Ryan. He was going to be a big star.
Travolta gets to kind of just be Travolta.
Yeah. He's just himself now.
He
messes up people's names on the Oscars.
Who was the other guy that was in it?
Gets massages.
Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, yeah.
In Rogue One.
Forrest Whitaker is having a good run right now, though.
I should preface that by saying maybe Forrest Whitaker is okay because Forrest Whitaker really is just a good actor.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Rogue One this year or last year. He was in Black Panther this year. He's doing well. He's in some good property. Well, he was. His characters are dead. Spoiler alert.
I just don't get how some actors who are in good stuff can't quite catch a break. Some actors can just stack up the booty and they can just keep making whatever they want.
And why not? You know what you need in your life, Jake?
What do I need in my life?
Some happy trees. Some happy little trees.
Oh, we getting into your painting skills?
Yes.
So I saw that on Facebook that you had done a Bob Ross painting.
This was part of my Father's Day. We did it the day after.
So was this you went to a class or you actually just like called up Bob Ross? Because Bob Ross is on YouTube.
Yeah, we watched it on Netflix, but it's also on Hulu. It's all over the place. So it was my daughter's idea that we all paint Bob Ross paintings. That
sounds exceptionally fun.
So we watched an episode. We painted as we went along, actually. We paused a lot. It probably took us 3 hours to do a half-hour episode.
I don't get the impression that Bob Ross, like, those are just it, like, it is in real time, is it?
Oh, there's no way. Not if you're an amateur like me.
So did you guys have like the right materials and everything, or approximation?
No, not even close. We used acrylic paint. He uses oil paint. We had terrible brushes, like dollar store brushes.
You just had like spray cans.
Yeah, it was a joke. And then come to find out, I painted on the back of the canvas.
How does one do that? Because
it had a little frame where they pasted it. Goes
in, doesn't it?
Well, this was a flat canvas. Oh. It wasn't like it didn't have any depth to it.
Oh, okay.
But there was a little pasty thing on the back that apparently everybody told me it was to glue it down. I thought that was like a little natural frame, so I painted on it. And also, we didn't have yellow, so I used gold instead. So in my world, God ran out of yellow and used gold instead.
Majestic.
All of my tree limbs, my leaves, my bushes, they all have green and gold.
It's interpretation.
Sounds like a song from The Used. It was kind of inspired by Father's Day, of course, but also we went to the Chalk Art Festival that was in downtown Salt Lake.
How's that go?
Oh, my gosh. It was so crazy. It was so awesome. Yeah. It was like... It was like Mary Poppins. This was free.
I sit in my house and this watch, was free, and it was on the ground. Movies that disappoint me. You get out in the sun.
There was stuff that looked like it was photo quality. It was amazing. I wanted to jump into the picture like Mary Poppins, but it led to a really tragic Bob Ross painting. So that's what you get for going out, I guess. We all did the same painting, but it all looked so different.
Who came out the victor, would you say?
Probably my wife. Hers looked the nicest.
Are you sucking up right now, or did she?
No, really have hers looked the nicest. She also had more tools. She had the famous knife that he uses to put the texture on the trees.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. I just used the smallest brush I could find, which was a mistake. I should have
like
just
that sounds
used
like a lot of fun that could easily be very frustrating.
Bob Ross
encourages you, though. Generally speaking, doesn't he encourage you to, like, you know what? If it's not going right, whatever. We're just here. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time.
It's just about happy little trees. Put a nice little cloud right here. In my world, this mountain is over here, and it's got a cousin right over here.
I feel like it's adjacent. You going to go see that Mr. Rogers documentary?
Yeah. I loved Mr. Rogers when I was a kid.
How many boxes of tissues are you going to go through during that?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, don't put any salt on my popcorn. I'm just going to cry into it, and the salt will come from my tears.
I want to see that so badly, but man, I'm going to break down. It's so funny that I have such an attachment to just that guy and that show. But
it was an amazing show. It really was.
They made a documentary out of it.
I wish somebody would do something like that today.
It's such a captured moment in time because much like Bob Ross, it is an unfathomably genuine man doing something that he loves and wanting to project that love to other people. I want to say it was Bob Ross. I had heard he just basically paid all the bills to do that. He just wanted to have that stuff out there.
Well, he was in the military, so I'm guessing he saw some stuff in Vietnam and just wanted to cope with it. Yes. There's rumors out there that Mr. Rogers was in the military, and those are not true, by the way.
Everything I've ever read, because Mr. Rogers strikes me as one of those kind of guys, maybe in a John Wayne sort of thing, that you want to love him so bad, but if you look a little deeper, you're going to find out, this guy was a monster.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers was apparently just the purest
yep.
of people. And I can't wait to go and just lose, like, 3 pounds of body weight out of pure tear.
I heard an interview with him on, I believe, Terry Gross on NPR, and he was talking about how he came up with puppets, and it's because he was super sick when he was a little kid, and he was quarantined, and he couldn't have any friends, he couldn't have any cousins or siblings come, so he just took socks and made puppets out of them to stay sane, and that's where he came up with the puppets. That's Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, I really feel like it would be difficult to get someone that genuine. And two, even if you did, it just wouldn't sell enough to get made.
Right. I mean, there's Steve from Blue's Clues. Other than that,
it's just a job for some people. I mean, hey, you know, you talk about people where it was just a job. Talk to Bob Saget outside of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh yes, I've seen Bob Saget. I've met him.
Bob Saget.
He's actually quite nice, but
he seems like an incredibly vulgar, very nice guy.
He's not Danny Tanner on stage for sure, but he's somewhere in between in real life. He's not super crass in real life either.
Hey, Bob Saget, good for you, buddy.
Yeah, he's a real person.
How's the arts festival been going for you, man?
It actually starts tomorrow.
So what are you just doing some stand up at the arts festival? What's that?
Yeah, I'll be hosting the shows.
You done that before?
Yeah, I've hosted like 4 or 5 times now.
How's that? Good time?
Usually, yeah. Good crowd? Usually, Thursday's usually a little more light, and we're like an hour earlier starting this year.
Huh.
So it's 4:30 to 5:30 or 6, something like that.
Who are you going to be hosting?
We'll also have Amra Ames, who you met the other night. Amra. Steve Solberg,
he was there the other night too. I really did enjoy Amra.
Yeah, she's funny, and so everybody on the show is funny. Also, Steve Solberg, Alex Velluto, and Spence Roper.
Is that the Steve that I did see at your
yes.
show?
Yes. Yeah.
I like Steve said a lot too.
So yep, he'll be there as well.
You got good guys.
It's going to be a good lineup.
Anybody going to the arts festival? Check it out.
Check it out for sure. Other than that, I mean, I don't.
Just trucking around.
It's kind of a weekly. Stand-up comedy is a funny thing, especially when you're when you're not famous.
Well, I should certainly hope so.
Yes, it's sometimes it's just week to week. You don't get huge dates necessarily all the time. Some people do. Those are the ones that. Those are the ones that can.
That's going
to
be
afford to sponsor their Facebook.
Eventually,
post.
When you know, eventually not become a mailman, that'll be just.
That's the dream.
It's going to be that sitcom money.
Stand-up podcasting. It's going to pay all the bills. now that we're with the illustrious Country Classic Confederation.
The CCC.
The CCC. Not quite Creedence Clearwater Revival, but also not quite the KKK. They're somewhere in between.
They maybe wanted to go that way.
I think they probably did want to, but then they also realized that might be.
The less said, the better.
It's more undertoned. Less hoods.
More goods.
More goods.
I went with the quickest thing I could think of. So, you know what?
We're happy to be there, though. We do have a sponsor this week.
Oh?
Yes. Management, they're putting their thumb down on me. We have a sponsor.
Management. Look, Big management. Country. You heard what happened to Dark Tower Management. Do you want a Dark Tower as management?
That's what they're trying to do, I think. They're trying to stop us before we can get any momentum.
Big Country.
All right.
You stay with us.
I'll just go ahead and read this as best I can, folks. I mean, trust me, we don't want to do this.
I'm going to let you take the money on this one.
We'll see if any money comes in. Come on down to Carne Asada's Tacos, 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 where if you love it, we'll put it in a taco. You love steak? We'll put it in a taco. Pork? We'll put it in a taco. General Tso's chicken? We'll put it in a taco. You love cake? Doesn't matter if it's birthday cake, cheesecake, crab cake. We'll put it in a taco. If your favorite food is tacos, we'll put that in a taco. So come on down to Carne Asada's Tacos, 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 where we're the taco of the town. Oh, I feel dirty now, Jake.
I'm
How about
go
you?
I'm going to go ahead and put my discontent for that corporate nightmare into a taco. And I'm worn out, frankly. I've put everything on the table. I've put it in a suitcase. I put a bow around that suitcase. I put that suitcase in a stupid taco. I'm
interesting though.
Yes.
Carne Asada's Tacos, Tacos, Tacos. Their kids meal, Dark Tower toys. Just saying. Go check them out.
Eat me tacos. Tacos, tacos. Travis, I got to get out of here. I've had it with this.
It has been a long dark tower.
Come get me, Idris. Get me out of this mess, Idris.
We've gone country.
Look at them boots.
You do know some country. That's good.
I've grown up in Utah. I grew up in Utah in the 90s. The 90s was
Garth Brooks.
A turning point. Hey, Garth Brooks, I'm coming for you, Chris Gaines. The 90s.
Chris Gaines.
There is a tolerable. Like I don't hate country music.
Me neither.
I kind of really enjoy a broken alcoholic. I don't love a person who beats wives, but someone who is just a dirtbag writing country music. I kind of there's a sound that comes out of it that I can kind of get with.
Sadness.
I love a Johnny Cash. I love a any number of old Cleaner. I like an Oak Ridge Boy now and again. The guy has a deep voice.
That's right.
So I can get with it every once in a while, but Garth Brooks started something. It burns in me.
And it's still going today. Now they rap. That's what I don't understand. There's an old joke. It's an old joke from the Golden Horseshoe Review at Disneyland. Hey, they mix country and rap. They call it crap. That's a joke that's at least 20 years old. Mm. And that's the truth now. It became reality.
There's a video I saw a while back that took, I think it was 4, maybe 5 country hits from the last year or two. And they made a compilation video of all of them and showed like kind of note charts or tone charts.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
They all were the same thing.
Like driving down an old dusty road.
They could cut them together. They were cutting them together, right. And they all ended up kind of making the same song with the same sound. And
it's because they were written by the same computer program.
And I watched it, and I was like, uh-huh, I've been trying to say that for a while, guys. Come on.
There's no originality anymore, except
you still get some very listenable. I think it's Sturgill Simpson, I think I ran across. Pretty dirty.
I've only heard him on podcasts.
Is it Sturgill? Are you thinking of Wheeler Walker Jr.?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely thinking of Wheeler Walker Jr. Okay. Yeah. Sturgill Simpson's like legit. Yeah. Right?
He sounds like what an old country person. Right. Like. Just he's vulgar. Beaten, he has made bad choices.
Right.
Country music should make bad choices.
Yeah. I'm thinking Wheeler Walker Jr. for sure.
Modern country music is the Dark Tower.
That's right.
All comes around.
Did you know that's hereditary?
Country music?
Coming around.
My family loved
it. I told you I needed to do it a third time.
The reason I know about country music is I grew up in it, so.
I think we all did a little bit. We got it in our soul. We got a titch of it. We got country in our soul. On the country music spectrum. I like that, the country music spectrum. It's fluid.
Well, anyway.
Everybody's a little bit country.
Travis, I've had enough.
We're big country.
I must get out of here.
I'm just waiting for management to send us a cease and desist. Hey,
management, you out there? Management just stuck.
They're up in the dark tower.
I smell sulfur. Management has told us that we can officially call this a podcast.
All right. Sounds good to me. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Hey, buddy. It's nice seeing you.
It's good to see you.
It's been a real nice week. You know, you have a sign-off. I should have a sign-off. So for the program, I'm Jake. Scooping the coupon.
And for what are we calling it? Jake always says the title.
I'm Jake, scooping the coupon for Late to the Party.
With Travis Tate. Better Tate than never.
All right, I'm here with country music legend, Toby Keith.
Damn right, legend.
I'm honored to be here with you today, Mr. Keith.
As you should be. Anybody in Toby Keith's presence should be honored to be in Toby Keith's presence. That's what Toby Keith always says to Toby Keith.
I can dare say that I am definitely feeling something emanating from you.
Yeah, that's called greatness, Jake. Greatness.
It kind of looks like those little lines in the Archie cartoons that Jughead maybe having a bad burger of some sort.
It's like when you look off in the desert and you see them wavy lines off in the horizon. That's greatness from Toby Keith. I was there.
In the desert.
It just emanates. That's right.
So
all through the desert.
Mr. Koth, are you here today? What are you here to promote today?
It's Toby Keith, actually. And Toby Keith is here. We know that you've been bought out by the Country Classic Confederation. And the reason Toby Keith is here is we know you have a slightly more liberal views than the normal country fan. So Toby Keith is here to just kind of bounce around some ideas.
Did you contact Cable?
Cable, I mean, they're kind of rinky-dink compared to the likes of whatever this is with not K-Sop, Travis Tritt.
I think that was it anyway.
Yeah, so, K-Sop. I remember K-Sop. I think I did when I was coming up, I did a little concert for them in their lobby.
What album were you, was it perhaps Boomtown that you were touring on that day, or was it your original album?
That's when I was still working on my original album. Toby Keith doesn't just do lobbies now.
This was pre-hat, Coach.
Pre-hat. This was Permy Mullet, Toby Keith.
So I'm looking over a discography here. Something I'm noticing is you are prominently featured on all your albums wearing what appears to be the same damn outfit. Could you tell me, Mr. Toby Keith, could you tell me what led you to this decision? Except for what I'm looking at here is your original album, Well, you know what? I take it back. I see why you were wearing the hat. Your original album is a mullet that can only be described as Lion King-esque.
Well, you see, the thing about that hair, I can't do that hair now because there's this thing called breaking the internet, and that hair now would break the internet.
But you look a little shy in that. Is this pre Toby Keith effect?
Yes, this is pre.
It looks kind of like you were going to Sadie Hawkins stag.
This is before Toby Keith spoke about Toby Keith in the third person.
There's sort of an arm lock thing that says, I don't know how I feel about being here, but I've committed.
Yeah, I mean, Toby Keith is what Toby Keith is, and he does what he does, and that's the legend and the bottom line about Toby Keith. That sounded a little like Stone Cold Steve Austin there. I apologize for that, Toby Keith went into a little, that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said
so. Have you ever considered a moniker like Sweet Relief Toby Keith?
Sweet Relief, I like that. Patent pending.
All right. I want to ask you about your album Unleashed, and I was curious... Why does your album Toby Keith Unleashed look more like a comedy album by the Rednecks of Comedy?
Well, that was just to give all the other country artists out there a chance to catch up to Toby Keith. I'm going to throw people off.
I'm really not. I got to admit, Mr. Toby Keith, that I'm not super familiar with your work. I am more familiar with your work of the... basically, all I know about your music is you're patriotic as hell.
That's right. Like a bullet. Toby Keith?
Yeah, is that a lyric from one of your songs?
That is a song. I just wrote it.
Oh, okay. So I guess that's that greatness. One's going to be... So, Mr. Toby Keith,
You're not familiar with my work. You hate America, Jake?
I don't hate America. I mean, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I really just kind of hate you.
Well, let's not let that get between us, because it's the Toby Keith way.
Is that offering to put a boot in? Would you put a boot in my ass forcefully?
Well, that brings me to why I'm actually here, Jake. You see, Toby Keith has conquered country music. He's even conquered the holidays. He's conquered Christmas, 4th of July. He even got a Hanukkah album out there that went to number one. Dreidel, 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 we made it out of clay.
I'm gonna stop you right there and say that you are encroaching on Billy Madison territory.
I don't know what that is. Toby Keith doesn't watch Adam Sandler movies.
Adam Sandler conquered Hanukkah long before you, and I think that he still has the corner on Hanukkah.
Nah, Adam Sandler just kind of dipped his toe in. Toby Keith knocked all the water out of the pool. That's how Toby Keith does it.
I can't That's fight greatness. You on that, Toby Keith.
That is greatness. But there's one thing out there, Jake. By the way, I'm glad your co-host isn't here. I specifically asked that he not be here because we have beef.
You have Keith beef?
Keith Beef. Toby Keith Beef. That is an actual company that I own. Toby Keith Beef. I bought Trump Steaks, and now it's called Toby Keith Beef, and you can pick those up at your local Chevron. They have them in the freezer section.
Hey, guys. If you're into the gas station milieu of dining specialties, go ahead and pick up a Toby Keith Beef.
Well, I looked at it this way. You see, you're going fishing. You get one of them little coolers so you can put the fish in it. Why not throw a frozen steak in there, too?
Why not diarrhea?
That's right.
We've all been there.
It's good food. Good eating. Mm-mm. It'll run through you like the red, white, and blue. Anyway, back to why Toby Keith is here.
You waiting? Please continue.
What was that? Toby Keith is here because there's one thing out there that Toby Keith has not conquered yet. Do you know what that one thing is?
Literacy?
Toby Keith is not litter because he loves America. He doesn't want to make the Native American on the side of the road cry. So I don't know why. Whenever I see litter, I go pick it up because I love America.
You know what, Toby? I want to take a moment and just appreciate that you used the term Native American. That one really knocked me back.
Yeah, because Twitter would go negative on me if I said other things. Yeah. Toby Keith wants to sell albums. Toby Keith, this is 2018. Toby Keith is inclusionary, which also brings me back to the real reason I'm here. Toby Keith... wants to conquer gay pride. That's
you want
right.
to end gay pride?
No, I want to conquer it. Did you know that 35% of people that listen to country music are actually gay? 75%, if you want to use the word the way we used to use it back in the 90s. But that's beside the point. There's an untapped market out there that Toby Keith wants to tap.
You would like to tap that market?
That's right. Toby Keith is going to tap the gay market. He's going to get right in there and show him who's boss.
Toby Keith.
All are welcome at a Toby Keith concert.
I, you know what, Toby Keith, I have not been to your concerts, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, regardless of what you bring to the table, your audience is not going to welcome the gay.
That's not true. If you're wearing boots and you're wearing flannel, you're welcome at a Toby Keith concert. A lot of them women have the same hairdo I had back in the 90s on my original album cover. They just think they're Toby Keith impersonators. All are welcome.
You know what? My mom didn't have that haircut in the 80s.
Come on down to Toby Town.
So, Toby Keith.
That's my name.
Please tell me how you're going to conquer the game market.
Well, the reason I'm here is so I can bounce some ideas off of you. There's some songs that I want to work on, of course. And I'm going to write original songs eventually. But I realize I got some things to learn about this market. So right now, I'm going to work on like covers.
You got to learn to crawl before you can gay.
Exactly. There's gold at the end of that rainbow. You know, Toby Keith.
Speaking of which, kind of a top gay anthem and a personal favorite of mine is the hit Somewhere Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. Is this going to be on your album?
It is now. If I knew it was the number one, I would have had it on there already. Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Boy,
it's Toby Keith.
That felt weirdly hetero. Would you be adverse to It's Raining Men?
It's raining men. Hallelujah. Are you adverse to that? That's just a little sample.
So, moving on. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. Not of you, please. George Michael.
I appreciate you playing hard to get right here.
No, Toby.
Theoretically.
Consent is important, and you do not have my consent as a fan.
I will.
The George Michael
hit. I'll just keep asking until you give in. That's how consent works, right? Toby Keith.
Chills keep coming. The George Michael hit Freedom.
Freedom 90?
Freedom 90.
I love that song.
Well,
I think there's something you should know. I think it's time I told you so. There's something deep inside of me. So there's something else I got to be. Like that? Toby Keith greatness.
Well, no, not that. That is the song, but please not like that.
Freedom. You know I love freedom. Toby Keith's favorite thing is freedom.
Let's move on to the 1989 classic Cher. If I could turn back time.
If I could turn back time. If I could find a way. Toby Keith, you like it. I can see you're smiling. You're smiling.
Oh, boy. You know
I'm
what?
I'm turning you.
Ooh.
I'm turning. Toby Keith.
Ooh. Ugh. Ugh, these feelings I'm having.
You like Lady Gaga, Jake?
I'm okay with Lady Gaga.
I'm your biggest fan. I follow you until you love me. Papa, paparazzi. There you go. What about Kesha? I like Kesha.
Kind of thankfully not familiar with that one.
Kesha's trying to drop into country music herself. I appreciate that.
Oh, she going full Hootie?
She's going partial Hootie. I know she's touring with Macklemore, so that's not full Hootie.
Has Macklemore gone country?
Macklemore should.
I am fine. You know, honest to God. Macklemore
can open for me anytime.
As God is my witness, Macklemore going country seems natural.
I'm going to pop some tags. See? It's country. Sounds country to me. Sure. But Kesha, Die Young, that's a great song. It's pretty obvious that you've got a crush. That magic in your pants is making me blush. See?
That seems country. A little racy for you, Kobe Teeth.
It is. Not anymore. I take everything and tame it down, and then I race it back up, and then I tame it back down.
So
that's what the gay community needs in Toby Keith.
Another popular gay anthem, Madonna's Vogue.
Vogue. I don't remember the words. That's just
can
that's
you do
just
the
lame
hand motions
rap.
For me? Whoa. All right. You don't. Whoa. Don't. So
what other Madonna
not,
songs besides that
know,
one?
How do you not know the lyrics, but you are spot on with the hand motions?
Something about Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio. And that sounded like Elvis there for a second. Joe DiMaggio.
Sounded like you were slipping into We Didn't Start the Fire there for a
we
second.
We didn't start the fire. That's not gay enough.
I'm reticent to bring this one up because I really do like this song. Can I plug my ears? And for the audience, because we do Market research says we have a large country music fan.
Toby Keith.
Base. Not necessarily specific to Toby Keith, but I suppose. But could you let our fans hear a little bit of Cyndi Lauper's True Colors?
Just see your true colors. That's why Toby Keith loves you. There's a little bit for you.
Truly disgusting.
Don't be afraid to let them show Toby Keith's true colors.
I'm really glad I haven't eaten yet. Oh, boy.
You're hungry for some Toby Keith beef. I got some in my truck. It's just out in my truck. Yeah, I got a cooler back there.
Oh, thank God there's at least a cooler.
I cooked a steak on my way here. I just put it on the engine block.
How did you do that?
You wrap it in foil. Everybody knows that. That's good eating.
That doesn't seem healthy.
It's all protein.
Oh,
it's
good for you. Get me away from this.
It's the keto diet.
I am compelled to bring up the Gloria Gaynor classic, I Will Survive.
At first I was afraid. I was petrified.
I
will survive.
I want to bring this gross miscarriage of justice to a close.
Toby Keith.
There's one song left that I feel like I need to bring up. Diana Ross's I'm Coming Out.
I'm coming out. I want the world to know.
Stop. What? This is enough.
What?
Kobe Teeth.
What? You like
what
erasure?
You're doing is wrong.
Why?
What you are doing is wrong. Aura or no aura. I'm post aura on you, Kobe.
I don't know what that means. Post aura?
Your disgusting take on classic music has opened my eyes. And I see clearly now.
You're a Toby Keith fan now?
No. I'm putting up a Toby Keith ban. You are being disrespectful.
Toby.
Number one, Mr. Teeth.
Keith.
You know, I'm going to demand respect from you again.
Respect.
Mr. Keith.
You got my name right. I appreciate that.
I'm going to afford you the respect that I hope and pray you will afford our gay community someday. But I'm going to respectfully tell you, get the hell out of my house.
One more thing. Toby Keith is sorry. Toby Keith wants to bring everybody together. He wants oneness. Toby Keith wants equality. He really does. Can I sing a little song for everyone out there? All Americans and people that sneak into the country,
Toby Keith,
as well.
No, Toby.
This is for them,
Toby,
too.
You behave.
This is all, whether you're in a cage or not, Toby Keith wants you to hear this song. You ready, Jake?
This is your last chance, Toby Keith.
My country, 'tis of the sweet land of Kobe Teeth. Oh, Toby Keith. Kobe Teeth. Kobe Teeth. Him and his giant teeth of the...
Ladies and gentlemen,
This
is truly the end of art.
Toby Keith is out!
I'm very sorry for this. Please forgive.